speak to the sails of my wandering heart. Like the wind you guide, clear the skies before me, and I'll climb this the stars you wear with the end of us, and remind me where I've been and where I am going. Shallows in midst fear and fog. Your truth is the compass that points me back north. Jesus, my captain, my soul's trusted Lord. Oh, my allegiance is right for
and welcome again to all of you, and thank you for joining us this Easter morning at HMCC. We're so glad that you're here with us, and I want to welcome all of you. My name is Pete. I'm one of the pastors here at HMCC, and I'm so thankful to be able to celebrate Easter together this morning. As I greet all of you here, would you all go ahead and just shout out greetings to your life groups, to different people who you might be watching with today over your social media or group messaging, whatever that may be. If a friend invited you or you invited a friend, go ahead and shout out to them as well, and let's welcome each other here this morning. As we just saw on that video, we as a church have had to adapt a lot this year. There's been so much that God has done for us, among us together this year, just in our life group communities and as a church. It's been amazing. And now as we just adapt to what's going on right now, meeting together online, finding ways to connect virtually, we need to continue to build each other up and fight for one another as we go through a pretty difficult season right now. And so take a moment just to greet one another. I was already getting bunches of texts and messages coming in even just while we were watching that video. So it's really great to see everyone connecting. And this is an especially important time for us to be able to connect as a church. This Passion Week, when we remember Jesus and everything that he has done for us. And I hope you've had a great week just journeying through the story of Jesus with us. I hope you got to meet with your life group this week and connect with each other and study the message of the gospel. I hope you're able to join us on Thursday night as we remembered the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples and we took communion together, even on Good Friday, when we gathered like this and we spent some time just looking at the message of the cross and looking what Jesus has done for us and how he gives us hope in the midst of the doubts that we're facing. And that brings us here to our Easter Sunday morning when we're continuing this theme of anchor, talking about hope in this season. And I think this is especially important because this is a season when we do need hope, when we need an anchor. And for all of us who are going through this, I'm sure I don't have to tell you what's going on in the world around us. My heart was broken just on Friday, Good Friday. It happened to be my wife's birthday as well. Happy birthday, honey. But on Friday, celebrating Good Friday, and I remember later that night looking online and realizing over 2,000 people had passed away on Friday due to COVID-19 just here in the United States. And I think even as we celebrate this morning, there's a joy, and yet there's a sorrow and a mourning that happens because of what's going on in our world and what everyone around us is and we ourselves are going through right now. And I know that it's not just something we hear about in the news. It's something that affects our families, our friends, our coworkers, our society, maybe even ourselves personally in specific ways. And that's why in this season we wanted to focus on the theme of anchor, because more than ever, I think we really need an anchor to hold us steady. I don't know if you've ever actually seen or been in a storm at sea before. That's what's being referenced when we talk about having an anchor. I want to just show you some quick footage of what that could look like of some boats that are actually caught up in a storm. And as you look at this footage here that I think will be showing on the screen in just a moment, you'll see that the wind is blowing and the storm is raging all around these boats as they're tied up there. And I think you can tell that if these boats were not firmly anchored, if they didn't have something holding them in place, helping them to be steady in the midst of this storm, that they would have no hope at all. They would be dashed against the shore. They would be capsized. Their masts would be torn off. They would be in horrible condition if they had no anchor to hold them steady. And as you look at that footage, I want to ask you to reflect on this. Because right now we need an anchor in the storm that we all find ourselves in. And maybe for you it's not even just the COVID-19 situation. Maybe there are other things going on in your life as well, and you feel like it's just an undercurrent behind everything else that's going on in society. No matter what it is, all of us find ourselves in the midst of a storm right now, and we need an anchor in the midst of it. And the reality is, as we all gather here together today, that storm is not just something that's happening around us. It's something that's happening inside of us as well. The situations that we're in just bring out a lot of the stuff that's going on inside our hearts more to the surface so that it's unavoidable. And if I could be a little bit honest with you here this morning, I know that storm is going on inside me. As I've gone through just the past few weeks, seeing this COVID-19 situation unfold, as I've walked through that with family and friends and with our church and just paying attention in my neighborhood and seeing what everyone is going through, there's a lot more anxiousness and worry and fear for the future and just uncertainty, all of this that is coming out in my heart. And more than I ever show on the surface, more than maybe you ever see on my face, if I'm honest with you today, that storm is going on inside of me, just like it's probably going on inside of you. And as we face that this morning, this is where we want to come to the message of the gospel. The author of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." What is that? What's he talking about? The author of Hebrews here is saying that we need to look to the message of Easter, the message that Jesus, 2,000 years ago, not only lived as God among us, but died on a cross, a death that he never should have suffered, as he was the only one worthy of all praise and honor. And yet he was the one who suffered on our behalf and died on that cross. And then on this Easter Sunday morning, we celebrate that on the third day, he rose again from the grave to give us an anchor, to give us hope, to give us something to cling to in the midst of the storms of life that we face together here today. And that's why I want to ask you this morning to turn to John chapter 11. We're going to be covering roughly verse 1 through 44, but we're going to skip over some verses here and there just because we don't have time to cover every detail of this story. But we're going to look to a story in Jesus' life, a story about how he lived with the people he loved and how he offered them hope in the midst of what they were going through that ultimately points to his own death and resurrection that we celebrate here today. So I want to start off today by reading for us John chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. It should be up on the screen for you so you can follow along. Let me read this for us and then we'll get into today's message. It says this: "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." Now, as we look at the beginning of this story, just setting the scene for us of what happened here among Jesus and his friends, we see here the beginnings of a story with hope expected with love. Hope expected with love. See, this is a story where hope is needed because of what this family is actually going through right now. And if you notice here, just setting up the beginning of the story in verse 1, we see a family's storm that we're introduced to here. A family with a loved one named Lazarus who is sick and his family members believe is going to be dying. And they're in the midst of this storm and they're finding out that things are not going according to their plans. They are deeply concerned. Lazarus, we believe, most likely is not an older person. He's most likely, Jesus' own age in his early 30s or maybe younger in his 20s. He's not an older person and yet he is someone who has fallen ill and they don't know what is going to happen to him. And I get the sense here that as we look at this family's storm among Lazarus and Mary and Martha and what their family is going through, that they're discovering what many of us have been discovering in recent weeks. They're discovering that life is short. They're discovering that we are fragile and not as invulnerable as we think we are. They're discovering that we are not in control of our own lives. And we can't guarantee the way that things are going to go for us. And now as they find themselves in the midst of this storm, they send this message to Jesus. And it makes sense that they send this message to him because we learn in this story that they are the closest friends. They're people who are so close to each other. You know, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, we don't know how they got to know Jesus and how Jesus got to know them. But for whatever reason, we find out in this story that they love each other. They love one another and they are close friends with each other. And I don't know about you, but if I heard that one of my closest friends was very, very sick and potentially going to die, well, I would probably drop everything to go and visit that friend, to go and be there for them and be there for their family and try to support and encourage and show whatever kind of love I could in that situation. That's what I think any of us would do if one of our closest friends was in a situation like this. And yet we see that's not exactly what happens, is it? In fact, as Jesus hears about what is going on, we see that Jesus waited. Jesus waited. He didn't drop everything and go running to Bethany. He didn't put everything else aside and say, okay, let's get there right away. Jesus waited. And in fact, he tells his followers, his other friends who are there alongside him, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God. Jesus believed that there was some other greater purpose behind what was happening in this story. And it doesn't make sense to us that when he hears this message, he waits 2 more days before going to see these close friends that he has. And this morning, as we look at this story, and even as we look at our own lives and the storms that are going on around us and the storms that are inside of us, I wonder if any of us have ever felt this way, that maybe God is waiting to answer you. Maybe it's right now with something that you're going through. As you realize that your life is temporary, as you realize that you don't have control over what's going on in your family or in society around us, as you realize that maybe even financially you're going through difficulties because of what's happening with this pandemic, because you know that a friend or a neighbor or a family member or whoever it is has gotten sick, maybe even has passed away. As you face all of this, maybe you wonder, God, where are you? God, why haven't you come to answer me yet? Why doesn't it seem like you are there for me in the midst of this storm that's going on in the world? And I know that many of us may struggle with that, but perhaps there might even be some of you here that are visiting us today. Maybe a friend invited you and you're just curious about the Christian faith. Maybe you're wondering, okay, maybe I need God. Maybe I need God to give me some hope. Maybe I need God to help me in the situation that I'm in. Maybe you've prayed for the first time, saying, God, please help my mother, my father, my aunt, my uncle, my grandparents, my brother, my sister. God, help me. And today you're wondering, is Jesus there for me? Does Jesus care about me? Does he love me? Could he somehow have a purpose in what I'm going through? If he does, I sure wish he'd hurry up, because things don't seem to be getting better. And if that's where you are this morning, I pray that whether you're new to the Christian faith or exploring it, whether you've been a believer in Jesus for a long time, I pray that you'll follow along in this story and see the purpose that God has in all of this and see how he can give us hope in everything that we're going through. So let's continue in this story and read John chapter 11. We're going to skip to verse 17. We're going to skip over some more events that happen and just continue on with the story at verse 17. It says this: Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Now, as we continue in this story here, before we look into the specifics of it, I want to ask you to think about what happens when someone truly believes in something. You see, there is great power in belief. Believing in something can change your life. Believing in something can make you do things that you otherwise would not do. Belief is powerful for good or for bad. In fact, think about some of the things that we see going on in the world today that we realize maybe that's not such a good belief. For example, I've heard in recent days that there are people who started to believe this conspiracy theory that's been spreading online that 5G cell phone towers are actually the cause of COVID-19. And so we see some people buying into this false belief and going out and burning 5G towers like you see here, going and setting them on fire, harassing construction workers who are working on them. We see all kinds of things like this happening now because someone decided to believe in this theory that 5G towers are causing COVID-19. Never mind the fact that only about 5 countries in the world even have 5G towers, and yet coronavirus has spread to every country in the world. Never mind that. Somebody believes and has chosen to spread this belief that 5G towers cause COVID-19. And so people believing that have acted out of it. How about when we see other ways that false beliefs start affecting people? For instance, I've heard about this happening even locally here in Ann Arbor, even to some of our church members, but I also hear it happening around the world, that some people, because they make this association between the coronavirus and China, that there's been an increase in racist incidents against Asians around the world. And so, you know, we need to give ourselves reminders, things like wash your hands and don't be racist. So evidently, we need to be reminded of things like this, because if we're not, that people end up doing some pretty stupid things, things that are done out of hate, out of prejudice, maybe even out of fear. And yet there's this belief behind that that drives our behavior. Belief can do a lot of negative things. At the same time, belief can do a lot of positive things. You even hear stories about this priest named Father Giuseppe Berardelli who decided to give away his respirator to a younger patient so that they would be able to survive. And he sadly lost his life due to this infection, but he was willing to give up his life because he believed that he had an eternal home. He believed that Jesus had saved him. He believed that he would live for all of eternity, just like Jesus is actually talking about in this passage. You see, belief is powerful. And here that's what we see as we look at this passage. We now see hope expressed through belief. Hope expressed through belief in this conversation between Martha and Jesus that's happening here. Think about this. Look at Martha and some of the things that she says. She says, Jesus, if you'd been here, I believe my brother would not have died. If you'd been here, Jesus, I believe you could have healed him. I believe you could have saved him from this death that he suffered. You see, Martha has some beliefs. Martha has faith here in this passage. She believes things. Martha believed that God would, in fact, answer Jesus' prayer. She says to him, whatever you ask from God, God will give you. She believes that God's going to answer Jesus' prayers. Not only that, Martha believed that her brother would rise at the resurrection. She says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Martha has these beliefs. She believes, maybe like many of us, that there's a God out there, someone who exists out there who can answer our prayers, some supernatural being who has power and we hope is good and we hope wants to do something good in the world, and maybe a God who answers prayer. She believes that there is a heaven, an eternal life, something that's available for people after they die. She believes in some sort of eternity, some sort of resurrection, as many Jewish people did at that time, believing there was a resurrection. And yet here, for all of Martha's belief, she actually hasn't gotten to the real point yet. She believes in a God out there. She believes in a resurrection, an eternal life. And yet Jesus here decides to bring this issue to a point for her. He decides in this conversation to give her a statement and a question that she must then respond to and decide what she really believes in. Jesus says this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in me, you will never die. And those who have died and believe in me, well, they will live forever. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, Jesus, he made many of these I am statements. In fact, 7 statements throughout the Gospel of John. Things like, I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here in this passage, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? You see, here's the question that all of us must come to this morning. Wherever, whatever background you're coming from, we must decide, do we believe what Jesus claims about himself? And this is an important question that really only leaves us 2 options here. You see, Jesus, in saying these things, demands a response from us of what we will believe about him. Many of you may be familiar with the author C.S. Lewis, very famous author who produced a great amount of work, both philosophical works as well as fiction works, all sorts of things, much of it built on the background of the Christian faith that he came to believe in later as an adult. And C.S. Lewis, in talking about Jesus, famously said, you must judge Jesus to be either a lunatic, a liar, or Lord. In fact, to share with you exactly what C.S. Lewis wrote about this, I want to share with you a little quote here from his book, Mere Christianity. He wrote this, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, which is Jesus. They say, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. he would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God, but let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Wow. For all of us here today, for those of us who are coming from a Christian background even, do you believe what Jesus is saying about himself? That if he is the resurrection and the life, if he is the true vine, if he is the only way to the Father, if he is who he says he is, well then that will change everything in our lives. That belief will change everything about how we go through the storms of life that we're all facing. And even for those of us who today, maybe you're not coming from a Christian background. Maybe you're not someone who grew up in the Christian faith. Maybe you're not someone who has heard all of this before and you're hearing it for the first time. And maybe before you've had maybe a good opinion of Jesus, a generally good perception of him, said, oh, he seems like a good guy. He's a loving guy. He seemed like he really wanted to help people. Yes, all of that is true. And yet we cannot settle for saying Jesus was just a good moral teacher, a nice guy who went around doing miracles. No, as Jesus makes this claim, as he speaks this to you today, just as he did to Mary 2,000 years ago, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, you and I today need to decide what we will do with that. What will we believe about Jesus? Will we believe in the one who can give us hope and become the anchor for our souls that we so need in this time? Well, let's continue and finish up this story here, reading verse 38 to 44. And as we read that story, read the end of this story, we'll see how it all comes together. Starting at verse 38, it says, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Now as we look at the end of this story, as we see the culmination of everything that's been happening up to this point, what I want you to realize today is that as we're trying to find hope, as we're trying to find this anchor for our souls, well, that hope doesn't mean anything if it's powerless. In fact, hope needs power, doesn't it? Just having hope in something isn't enough. If it's a false hope, if it's an empty hope, it doesn't do any good for us, does it? I mean, just for example, some of you, if you're hoping to get a good grade on your exam, but if your hope is not empowered by studying, students at home, sleeping in till whenever, if your hope is not empowered by studying, well, then you're probably not going to get that good grade no matter how much you hope for it, are you? Maybe if you hope to send a message, to send a cool video over TikTok or Instagram or whatever it is, you want to send that, but if your hope of sending that is not empowered by a good Wi-Fi signal or good bars from the cell tower, if your hope is not empowered by that, well then you're not going to be able to send that no matter how much you hope to. You see, hope needs power. Hope needs to be empowered by something. And here, what we see at the end of this story is a hope empowered by resurrection. Not an empty hope, but a hope empowered by resurrection. And look what we see here at the conclusion of this story. First off, and this is so important, I want to point this out. We see here Jesus deeply moved by what is going on. And in fact, we, just a few verses before this, we skipped over the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35, where it says Jesus wept. You see, Jesus, while he has this power, he has this ability to raise Lazarus from the dead, he can do these things, and yet he doesn't just stand there kind of stoic and unmoved by the situation. He doesn't just walk to the tomb and stand there uncaring. No, he sees what his friends who he loves are going through, and he is moved with compassion for them. This hope that we have in this situation is rooted in the compassionate love of God, that he sees what we're going through, and he isn't uncaring and distant and aloof. He cares, and he is close to us, and he weeps with us, and he mourns with us, and he is with us in everything that we are going through. Our God is a compassionate God. And yet here, as we see Jesus deeply moved, what then happens? He tells them, take away the stone. Take away the stone. And Martha is concerned when he says this, because she says, hey, Jesus, my brother died 4 days ago, and we put him in this tomb. And if we roll away the stone right now, it's going to smell pretty bad. It's not going to be anything that you want to see. It's not going to be anything that you want to get involved in. It's going to be pretty bad, Jesus. And yet Jesus says, no, let's do it. Take away the stone. Because here, brothers and sisters, while Jesus is so compassionate and merciful and loving, he knows that we, just like Martha and Mary and all their friends, that they're not going to see the glory of God unless they're willing to roll away that stone. And here, I want to invite you to do that today. Because we get really good at using different things to hide what's actually going on, don't we? And maybe it's not a stone. Maybe it's a mask that we wear, that we learn, especially even in the church. We learn to put on good appearances sometimes. That's not what the church is meant to be. Don't mistake me. The church is not meant to be a place where we all have to put on our best appearances. We all have to pretend like nothing's wrong. We have to pretend that we're not struggling, that everything is okay. The church is not meant to be that, and yet some of us turn it into that. We learn to hide behind a nice face, a big smile. Someone asks you, hey, how's it going? Oh, everything's fine, doing good, no problem here. We learn to hide in different ways. Some of you, you know this. You got your Finstagram account set up, right? You know what that is. Some of you don't know what that is. Fake Instagram, Finstagram. You got your public one that everyone can see, right? And on that one, you post the things you want people to see. Maybe on your fake one, maybe that's where you share what's really going on. Maybe that's where you say what you really want to say, but you don't want to say it in front of people who know you. We learn to hide so well. And the thing about today, the thing about the message of Easter and this hope, this anchor that's held out to us, is that unless we're willing to come to a compassionate God, a God who weeps with us and mourns with us and is with us in the struggle, in the storm, unless we're willing to roll back the stone, turn off the Finstagram, take off the mask, unless we're willing to do that, Jesus says, you're not going to see the glory of God. You're not going to see the power that I have for you in this situation. You're not going to see what I'm able to do. And today I want to invite you, roll back the stone. Take off the mask. Be who you are before God. Be genuine in his presence, in worship, in prayer, even in mourning or tears or whatever else it is that you need to do to come to God and be who you are. Whether you've been following Jesus for a long time or whether today is your first time placing your faith in Jesus, come to him and let that stone be rolled away. And as you do, know that the same thing can happen as what happens here in this story. Jesus cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And at the sound of his voice, that man came walking out of the tomb, grave clothes and all, risen from the dead, to be restored to his family and given new life. You see, what this does here now, brothers and sisters, of course, this is a big deal for Lazarus, you got to imagine. I mean, gosh, I can't imagine being in that situation, dying, and then being risen from the dead and having to walk out of that tomb. I can't imagine what that was like for Lazarus. But think as well what it was like for Martha. This woman who's been in dialogue with Jesus, been talking with him. You see, now Martha knows that resurrection isn't just some idea, some afterlife out there that she has a vague belief in. Now she knows that this resurrection isn't just some kind of future possibility, that resurrection is actually the person standing in front of her. That Jesus standing in front of her is the resurrection that she can believe in. And here is where we need to bring everything together. Because our hope, our anchor today, in the midst of the storm that we find ourselves in, is not that Lazarus was risen from the grave. No, this is an amazing story, an inspiring story, a powerful story, absolutely. But our hope today is not that Lazarus was risen from the grave, because heads up, he died again. We don't see it in the pages of Scripture, but he's certainly not walking around the world today. Even though he was resurrected by Jesus in this moment, he went on and he died again, and he is buried in the grave just like everyone else who he lived among. He met his end. Our hope is not that Lazarus was risen from the grave. Our hope, our anchor, is that Jesus, who is the resurrection, not only died on a cross to pay the penalty for all the things we've done wrong, all the ways we've offended God, all the ways we've hurt other people, that Jesus died for us on a cross, but also because he is the resurrection. He rose again from the grave, and needing nobody to come around and call him out of that tomb, needing nobody else to come along and tell him to get up, in his own power, the power of God, Jesus rose from that grave and came back to life to show us that death has been defeated, to show us that all the powers of this world bow before him, to show us that he will live and reign for all of eternity, and he can be that anchor for our souls that we need. You see, author Victor Shepherd says this. He says, "Hope from a biblical perspective is a future certainty grounded in a present reality." A future certainty grounded in a present reality. The hope that we can have today by believing in Jesus Christ, the resurrection who rose again from the grave, not only the one who can call Lazarus out of the tomb, but the one who rose himself in glory to live forever and ever and make a home for us in all of eternity, that when we believe in him, we can know that what he said in this story is true, that those who believe in him will never die. Now, yes, we will meet our physical end. A day may come where our physical bodies pass away. But by belief in Jesus Christ, we know and we have this anchor for our souls that we will live with him forever and ever, and nothing can take that away. No loss of a job, no loss of a loved one, no sickness or disease, no out-of-control situation, no other storm of life can take away this anchor for our souls that we have. That is why people who were here, people who witnessed Lazarus walking out of that tomb, people who witnessed Jesus risen from the grave were able to celebrate and testify like Peter did in his letter. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You see, now we have a living hope. Because our Savior, our Lord, our great teacher, he didn't just die and stay in the grave. He rose again, giving us eternal life and a living hope that can never be taken away. And brothers and sisters, when we start to believe in that, it changes everything for us. That's why as we wrap up here today, I want to give you this one thing to sum everything up, and that's to believe in the living hope that anchors your soul. Believe in the living hope that anchors your soul. And today, this Easter Sunday, I pray for every one of us in whatever situation we might find ourselves in, that this will be a day of rejoicing. This will be a day of hope. This will be a day where we celebrate and give thanks to a God who has saved us from death itself, a God who has destroyed the power of death and judgment in our lives, a God who sets us free from any condemnation, from all fear, from anything that would hold us down, and gives us joy and love and life and peace, no matter what storm it is that we're facing in this life. That we can know that when we mourn, that Jesus mourns with us and we are not alone. We can know that when we roll back the stones and take off the masks, that Jesus sees us for who we are and loves us for who we are. That we know, even when we face our darkest hours, that Jesus, who's risen from the grave, is able to give us hope and life and freedom and joy. And today, I want us to be able to rejoice in Jesus, to rejoice in the resurrection, the empty tomb that was found on Easter morning, to be able to celebrate the goodness of God and all of who he is. And so as we close out and take a moment to reflect here this morning, I want to share a video with you for the next several minutes that some members of our church put together as a celebration that our God never loses, a celebration that our God is able to overcome even the worst storms and be our hope in the midst of it. And so for the next several minutes, I want to invite you to reflect, listen in, watch, and remember and celebrate the hope and the good news that we have to rejoice in here today. Let's watch this together, and then we'll spend some time closing out in worship and prayer. Let's rejoice together this morning.
Actually, no, never mind. Yeah, let's play.
All right, let's just go.
Johan, count us in. Count me in.
When you move, such an easy thing for you to do.
lost a battle.
Never lost a battle.
Never lost a battle.
Never lost a battle.
Never lost a battle.
Never.
Never lost a battle.
As you had some time to reflect, to think about who our God is, to think about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to invite you, even personally, to come to God in your own response and to respond to that invitation, that question that Jesus asked. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" This morning, I want to ask you to come to God in that belief. To come to God and just for the next minute or so to seek him in prayer, to say, "God, this is the storm I'm going through right now. This is the pain that's going on inside my heart. This is the thing that I'm feeling anxious or fearful about. This is the worry that's consuming my thoughts." To bring that to God in whatever situation you're going through, to say, "God, this is where I need you." And so I want to ask you to pray your own prayer for the next few seconds or so. As you pray, I'm going to pray over us. But as you pray, will you bring to God whatever it is that you're going through? And I'm going to lift up a prayer on behalf of us all. And after I pray and after we pray together, we're going to join in worship together. We're going to lift up our eyes to Jesus together to celebrate who he is and rejoice in what he has done for us. So let's come to God that way in prayer and lift up our hearts to him. God, we pray this morning. We ask in Jesus' name that you would come and meet every single one of us. We rejoice today that that tomb 2,000 years ago was empty. And empty because Jesus Christ and the power of God had risen from the grave. Thank you that you are our anchor, Lord Jesus. Thank you that the hope we have in you can never be taken away. And we pray together this morning, God, every one of us, with all of our fears and all of our worries and everything that we're going through, God, we come to you in prayer and we ask you to come and meet us in the midst of this, God, to meet us and give us hope and give us that anchor in the midst of the storm. I pray, God, for all of us who are followers of Jesus, that we would cling to that hope in you in this season, that we would come to you and take off the masks and roll back the stones and be genuinely who we are in your presence at this moment, that you would meet us powerfully, face to face, a compassionate and loving God who wants us to see your glory. God, would you come and meet every single one of us? And even today, God, for those who are joining us here and wondering about the Christian faith, asking these questions, God, I pray that you would come and bring new faith, new belief into their hearts in Jesus' name, that they would begin to believe that Jesus, you're not just a good teacher, you're not just a nice guy who lived 2,000 years ago, but you are the Lord of heaven and earth. You are the resurrection and the life. You are the one who gives life, not only now, but for all of eternity. when we place our faith in you. Lord, I know at this moment that you are standing at the door and knocking on the door of our hearts. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that some of us today will be able to welcome you in for the first time and place our faith and our trust in you and be able to receive the peace and the joy and the freedom that you bring in the midst of the storm. And so come and meet us this morning, God, and bless us today and fill our hearts with joy and peace today. We thank you, God. We rejoice in you, and we want to come and offer all of ourselves to you with worship and rejoicing and thankfulness this morning. We love you, Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.